Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm a recovering food addict.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, and I'm powerless over food, and my life is unmanageable. I was just asked to speak about 20 minutes ago, which I find so odd. This was really the wrong day to be asked to speak, or at least that's what my head tells me. But then again, I trust the process, and I trust that this is actually the perfect time to speak. So I'm going to follow the what it was like, what happened, and then what it's like now format. So food was just a big part of my life, and I used it in private, and I ate in, you know, I had a exterior sort of public eating persona, and then like a by myself eating persona, and I gained a lot of weight when I was a teenager, and some stuff happened in my family that I could probably point to as reasons why I needed to do a lot of eating when I was a teenager. But that was probably the heaviest I was, and I'm not a 100-pounder. I have not had huge weight gain. I certainly did, and for me personally, I think, I see this program, it's not about necessarily how much weight you have to lose or gain, but how that whatever amount of weight it is impacts your life. And even though I didn't have a lot of weight on me, I mean, I definitely did, but not like, I mean, I was, you know, it wasn't huge. It really kept me from the things that I wanted to do and the person that I felt like I was inside. And it was very, very painful. But I didn't think of like that there was some like disease or some like switch that I couldn't control. I just assumed I was lazy, or I didn't, you know, it was a laziness thing. It wasn't like I had an inability to stop eating. That's what I thought. So I went through life. The thing that brought me here was, I started working with a trainer. I've been exercising for a while, but I met up with this trainer who offered to train me for free, and he gave me an eating plan. And the eating plan was something along the line, I don't remember the specifics, but it was like 3 days a week, eat very rigid boundaries around your food. And then 3 days a week, it sort of, there was this, you know, you could eat these things. And then on the seventh day, whatever you want. So, you know, and I was doing my little weights, and I was doing all this, and the weight, you know, all the weight was coming off. And then that seventh day, I'd eat like whatever. And then I'd eat whatever. And then I'd eat whatever. And then I started defining that 7 day by midnight this day to midnight on that day. So I'd stay awake till midnight, till like 1 or 2, so that I could start and then go to sleep and then wake up. And then that whole day I would eat and stay up until midnight so that I could eat. And the stuff, you know, and then I would, and my friends were asking what I was doing, and I said, I'm doing this little thing. And they were like, oh, okay, well, on your seventh day, come out with me and we'll go to dinner. I'm like, are you nuts? Like, no, that's my, like, I didn't say that. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm busy that day. But I would stay home with like, yeah. And then it just, and it would, you know, or they would say, oh my gosh, are you going to have like a cookie? And I'm like, a cookie? I'm going to have, it's my seventh day. And so I would not, so I just, and so then like, after a couple weeks of this, I started realizing this is not normal. Like when everybody was like, oh, are you going to have a cookie? Or, oh, come out to dinner with me. I'm like, no. And I started realizing that this is really not normal. So I should back up for a second. So when I was in high school, this is the only program I dabble in Al-Anon, but I actually really need Al-Anon, but I, you know, I get so much out of this program. But when I was a teenager, long story short, I sort of my friendships evolved, and I ended up, one of my close friends ended up going into AA, and then we built a group of friends around AA. So as a teenager, I went, you know, we'd be like, oh, we're going to go out and do this tonight, but first we're just going to hit a meeting. And so I'm like, all right, I'll go hit a meeting. So we'd hit the meeting, and then we'd go do whatever. And so I had a lot of, I didn't have any experience, but I had exposure to the 12 steps. And I remember thinking like, wow, this is such, like, anybody could use. Like, these steps are amazing. And even though I wasn't an alcoholic, this is really cool, good stuff. And so, you know, and I kind of, like, play with it on the side. So anyway, fast forward back to, like, this crazy seventh day thing. And I would, like, I realized that it started sounding like this is, yeah, like I made the connection between AA and the steps and my eating truly being out of control. So then I started poking around online, found the OA meetings, turned out there was one literally 3 blocks from my house. And so I'd kind of like walk down the street, scope it out, you know, and then like, God forbid, like somebody would see me even looking at it. Right. And so then, and I did that for a long time. And then finally I had the courage, or actually it wasn't courage. It was desperation to walk in the door. And, you know, I tell this to every newcomer that will listen to me. That is the hardest thing this program has ever asked me to do. Honest to God. I'm not saying that there's been things that haven't been challenging in this program for me to do, but the hardest thing I've ever done is to walk in that door. And to this day. So, and I did. And somebody called me after that meeting. And that's why my goal is that I really try and call newcomers, because that was a big deal. And that was 11 years ago. Actually, that day was December 17th, 2005. And that's the day that I call my recovery day, because, you know, my abstinence, that's a whole other story. You know, I've struggled with my abstinence, but since December 17th, 2005, when I walked in that door and I heard the things being said and I heard people talking, I knew that this is the trajectory for me. And, you know, there's been a couple years where I didn't go to a meeting, but or sometimes I hate God, but that I've known, like, ever since that day, that this is my path. So then I started working steps. I was terrified to find a sponsor. I have, you know, my story is one, there's a lot of shame and a lot of guilt in my story, and I don't, I just couldn't ask somebody to sponsor me, but somebody sort of, I was doing steps by myself. And I got to 4 and I was confused by something. And so there was some woman at one of my meetings, and I thought, okay, I'll call her, and because she seems like she knows what she's talking about. So I'll call her, figure out what to do on my 4th step, and then I'll just go do it. And so I called and I said, yeah, okay, so I did 1, 2, and 3 and I don't have a sponsor, but can you tell me, like, I just need to understand this. And I still, like, now I laugh at it, but she's like, okay, so you're doing them by yourself. I said, yeah. I did 1, 2, and 3, and so now I'm just on 4, and I just have this real quick, just answer my simple question, and then I'll go back. And she offered to sponsor me temporarily for 90 days. And she ended up being my sponsor for 5 years. She's still somebody that I talk to. I talked to her yesterday. I texted her this morning. You know, she's moved out of the area, but I just thank God that she asked me to sponsor me, because I would never have been able. I just couldn't ask somebody at that point in my life. And so, so what happened were the steps. What happened was the steps, and bit by bit, things got easier, you know. And the food sort of, you know, the food for me has been interesting, because it feels like it's sort of on this different trajectory than my recovery. And I know that that's not the case. I haven't quite figured out, like, the lapse or the lag time or whatever. And, you know, frankly, I don't care. Like, the food, like, I need, for me personally, the more I focus on the food, the more I'm going to eat. So I need to keep the food over there. I need to keep the food over there and trust the process, and trust, you know, keep my eye on the prize, which is these steps, which is these meetings, which are fellows, which are all of that. And when I start wavering, the tools. So I started working the steps, and then, how much more time do I have? So then, you know, and this is, I think this is a really important part for me. So I had my, like, God in my head. This is a really major piece of program for me. You know, and I'd say things like, oh, I can't believe God would bring this into my life, or, oh, God has a funny thing, you know, or God has done this, or God loves me, whatever. And that worked great until about 7 years ago, where I went through a very, very, very traumatic abusive, shocking PTSD type situation. Which then, you know, as a fellow used to say, you know, I'm not divorcing God, but he's sleeping on the goddamn couch. And I love that, like that, you know, I can swear at God and I have a relationship with God and I know, like, I know he's there, man, but screw you. You know, it's like, how did you do this to me? And it really shattered this whole, like, the whole program thing for me. And but I didn't go away. I mean, I was still on the trajectory. I didn't go to meetings. I didn't, like, I didn't want to talk about God, la la la. And so that was, so that's sort of what that's what happened 7 years ago. Let me fast forward into what it's like now. I've struggled a lot with finding a God that feels true to me. I want a God that will protect me. I don't believe in a God that will protect me anymore in that sort of parental way. I saw a speaker a couple weeks ago that was super, super, like, it just, the way he talked about God was, not a speaker in program, but another speaker. And this is now how I hold God. God sort of, God defines the path that my life is going to take, like it or not. What I get to do is design the path, is color the path in. And it can be nasty, you know, I can have a nasty path or I can have flowers and rainbows, and that's my choice. How I walk on this path is completely my choice, but the path I'm stuck with. But that's a lot. I get a lot. If I can choose how I'm going to walk on this path, that's a pretty powerful thing, I think. And so that idea of God really helps me. So what my life is like now, I just have sound bites. What is my life like now? It's honest. It's not perfect, but I'm grateful for it. I see the beauty in it. I let myself have emotions that feel true to me, and I need to vent those emotions, and then I can get back to work and back to my gratitude, but I have to honor my own feelings first. I eat healthy. I'm abstinent. I leverage this program a lot. I do my step work. I make phone calls, which is not my strong suit, but I make my phone calls. I go to meetings the best I can. You know, birthdays, holidays, like, you know, my birthday was all, you know, I watched my mom and my mom was just like I used to be, like, okay, my birthday, where am I going to breakfast? Where am I going to lunch? And where am I going to dinner? And every time I spend a meal with my mom on her birthday, it's like, oh my God, I'm so stuffed. And that's her every meal. And like, that's her birthday. And my birthday is not around food. I haven't had a birthday cake in 7 years. And I haven't felt shitty about not having a birthday cake for like 6 years. I like really don't want to, like, I get a birthday cake because my kids want birthday cake. I can bake with them and I get icing on my finger and I wipe it off and people look at me like I'm a freak. And it doesn't, my point is that the sugar, it doesn't even talk to me. There's some foods that sometimes, here's the thing for me, if a food starts chatting to me, if I have dinner and then like my kid's cereal is like, Rachel, cereal leaks. And when the cereal stops talking to me, it can come back in the house, you know, or whatever it is. So I have some of those points, you know, but I can keep ice cream in the house. Like what? You know, I have a solution. And that's what my life is like today. I have a solution. And part of that solution is honoring where I am today. That's a big part of my solution. Honoring what I'm capable of, surrendering what I'm not capable of right now, giving away my feeling, being in my emotion, whether that's anger or whether that's feeling sorry for myself or whether that's resentment, I get to feel it, like really, like unapologetically feel it. And then when I've felt it thoroughly, then I can turn it over and get rid of it. That's the only way. Like, shaming myself out of feeling resentment has not gotten me very far. That's gotten me to losing my abstinence again. So I'm grateful. You know, I'm struggling. You know, I have a lot of exterior things going on in my life right now. I'm a single working mom with all, you know, I could blah, 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 you know, but my life is beautiful and I see the beauty, and food and sugar is not the beauty anymore. That used to be the goal, was getting in my house and eating. And now it's engaging and showing up to life and doing the next right action. And there's so much, you know, that's the thing, we don't carry the message, we are the message. Like, I'm now living in a solution. And I, you know, and I can trust that, and I'm not perfect, as most of you people that get my phone calls know. But I have a trajectory, and I think that's, I'll wrap up with that. No, I'm not going to wrap up with that. I'm just going to say I have one more thing. I have a trajectory, and that's what's important to me. It's no longer the goal. It's, I want to be on the path to being all I can be, to being self-actualized. And then the last thing I want to tell you is what my life, to summarize what my life is like now. And this is true. And you guys, whoever, just, you know, I have examples of every single thing in here. My life, I know a new freedom and a new happiness. And I don't regret the past sometimes. And I don't usually wish to shut the door on it. I comprehend serenity. I truly have periods where I comprehend what serenity means, and I know peace. And no matter how far down the scale I've gone, I see that my experience has benefited others, and that's true as well. The feeling of uselessness and self-pity has disappeared often. I've lost my self-interest in my and selfish things, and I've gained interest in my fellows, and self-seeking often slips away, etc. These promises are not extravagant. They're legit, and I am proof of that from time to time.